All right. Guys, we did some special things this morning. We've got a lot more coming today that's going to be a little out of the ordinary. If you're a guest, this is kind of geared for Father's Day. This is kind of Guy's Day. Hope you've enjoyed it so far. One of the things, I don't know if you could feel it. Could you feel the emotion that she sang with in that last song? I mean, my goodness. And that's what it is about. We're so close to being in trouble and we don't realize it. And where would we run? Two songs this morning. Our strong tower. Who's going to give us shelter? It's God. He's our shelter. And that's where who we need to run to is our Heavenly Father. And we need to run to Him and take that shelter before we get into battle. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning is the spiritual battlefield and what we can do as Christians, as believers, to prepare for that, because there are things going on in an unseen world around us. And let's jump right into our first scripture, Ephesians 6. This is verses 10 through 12. A final word. This is Paul speaking to the church in Ephesus. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Does that sound like our battles against? Sounds like it's against something we can't control, doesn't it? It sounds like it's in a realm that we can't even see. We may not even, some of us believe it exists, honestly, because we have made, like many Bible stories, we've made Satan, devils, demons into fairy tales. We don't take them seriously anymore. We don't see them as a presence. You know, it's amazing to me. We have spiritual elements all through Christianity that we seem to ignore. I mean, God tells us as Christians, as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. A spirit lives inside of our very being. There is a spiritual element to our lives, and we need to be aware of that because we need to be prepared when the evil side of that tries to attack us. It's very real, and it's not some hocus-pocus nonsense that you see in a horror film around Halloween, but it's a very real element of life that I think we often don't take seriously enough, and we don't really know enough about how to prepare to do that kind of battle because we can't do this on our own. And one of the things that we need to look at is, what is going on behind the scenes here? Of course, it would scare us all to death, probably, if we could get a scene, a glimpse into the unknown. If we really saw what was going on, we would probably just absolutely freak out at what's going on. Because what happens, and we'll see this next passage of Scripture as well, in the Scriptures, in the Bible, what happens any time someone sees an angel? They're terrified. There is such power in this being. It is so, matter of fact, the writers can't even describe it most of the time, these beings that they're seeing. And they're terrified. It's not the cute little half-naked baby in a diaper with the little wings coming across like you see, you know, on the cards and stuff. And it's not this beautiful lady with long blonde hair sitting there strumming a harp. No. You know, these would be, and we're told in the Bible that they neither married nor given marriage and that sort of thing. So I don't believe you have male and female angels. I believe the Scripture says they're men. The ones that are named are men. They are men's men angels, guys. These are rough, tough, huge, overwhelming spiritual beings that we're talking about. But let's look at Daniel. Daniel was having a vision here in Daniel chapter 10. Let's look at what he saw. It says, only I, Daniel, saw this vision. The men with me saw nothing, but they were suddenly terrified and ran away to hide. Well, something happened because they got scared, didn't it? So I was left there all alone to see this amazing vision. My strength left me, my face grew deathly pale, and I felt very weak. Then I heard the man speak, and when I heard the sound of his voice, I fainted and lay there with my face to the ground. Just then a hand touched me and lifted me up, still trembling to my hands and knees. And the man said to me, Daniel, you are very precious to God, so listen carefully to what I have to say to you. Stand up, for I have been sent to you. When he said this to me, I stood up, still trembling. Then he said, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven. Notice his prayer was heard immediately. I have come and answered your prayer, but for 21 days the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now I'm here to explain what will happen to your people in the future, for this vision concerns the time yet to come. Do you get what's going on here? Daniel launched a spiritual battle between good and evil with his prayer. He didn't know it was going on. He didn't see it. Notice that it says his prayer was heard when he first prayed it. Did he get the result right then, though? No. 21 days later, because these evil and good forces were somehow in a battle. I don't know how that works. It's fascinating to me. It's not clear in Scripture exactly how that battle works. It just says over and over that it goes on and that we can't see it. But it's real and it's happening around us. But look how this battle got started for Daniel. What was the ignition of all this? What made it start? It was his prayer. Prayer is the method we use to communicate while on the spiritual battlefield. We communicate with God our Father, the creator of the universe, who is in control of all of the good powers in the universe, which can overwhelm and wipe out the bad powers. Don't get this thing that it's like Star Wars. Allison wore a Star Wars shirt today for Father's Day. I was real proud of her. You know, you'll have to see her shirt to understand, but this element of good versus evil that we have in our society. We see Darth Vader, we see the good versus evil in that, and the battle, and they're fighting it out, and who's going to win? Dude, there's no question who wins in this battle. God has already won. Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose again, and said, he said it's finished before he gave up his spirit on the cross. It's finished. These powers are already defeated. They're like a ragtag bunch that just goes around. They can antagonize a little bit. They're not going to win. There's no question. It's over. God won. Jesus Christ won. They took the victory. Satan will eventually be banished to the pits of hell. But in the meantime, he's walking around like a lion. He's trying to devour us. He's looking for any opportunity to get into our lives. And that's where we want to talk about what Paul called the armor of God. You guys heard that term? Some of you have been in church before, may have heard that. It's called the armor of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 17. This again from the New Living Translation. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you'll still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on the salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, do we have that image, Sean, of the Roman soldier? Let's look at these elements a little bit here. We can certainly see he has a belt around his midsection there. His breastplate is this large silver piece here that he has on his upper torso. Shoes. He has shoes on. The Romans didn't wear flip-flops, by the way. Those are real sandals, and they had nails that were driven through them to act as studs. I guess kind of like it would look like a golf shoe today, be the nearest thing that we could see on those shoes. Then we had the shield that you'll see him holding up here. He had the shield of faith, helmet of salvation. He has his helmet on. And the sword of the Spirit. Notice he has the long spear, but also on his side there, he has a very short sword there that's very maneuverable for close quarters combat. This is a very typical thing that Paul would have seen in his day and time. They were under Roman occupation. Paul was actually a prisoner of Rome. He was a citizen of Rome as well. So in this context that this passage was written, Roman soldiers were a typical sight. This is what you would see. If they had television then, this is what you would see on the evening news if there was a battle. This is who you would see. You would see this guy here, and he would look like this and going into battle. And most of their battles were close quarters battle. The longest distance thing I would suppose they had would be a bow of some sort that they could launch arrows at you, and that sort of thing. Well, that's kind of hard for us to apply today. When's the last time you've seen an image of a Roman soldier? Do we have any students in here? Anybody in school, do they show you what a Roman soldier looks like these days? Anybody? Yeah, that's kind of off the wall nowadays. Well, Sean, let's switch over. Let's look at our modern-day soldier. Does that look more familiar to you? That looks like a very familiar image, doesn't it? He has a belt around his waist. His body armor is a vest that can be load-bearing, and also it has various pieces. It can be Kevlar. It can be other things that slide in there and pouches to protect him. He obviously has boots on to protect his feet. The shield, not so much so. We will sometimes see in a riot situation or something, if you see the National Guard or somebody, they might have a shield, or police SWAT teams. We're usually dodging missiles and things, and a shield doesn't do you a whole lot of good in that. Don't do as much hand-to-hand combat. Obviously, he has the helmet on, and his sword is now an M4 rifle. Now, let's look at these elements as Paul was explaining them. The first one he talks about is the belt of truth. Does that mean anything to anybody? It doesn't to me. It's hard to fathom kind of what he's talking about. The belt of truth, and I've got some props today. This is what's going to be the fun part. Okay, the belt of truth. I've got my belt here. The belt of truth. In Roman times, the belt of truth. Don, you think I'm going to whip you with the belt? Don't run, bud. The belt of truth was used because they wore loose-fitting tunics. I don't know if you remember in that Roman soldier's picture or even in the U.S. soldier's picture. If you've got stuff like this out flopping and you're doing hand-to-hand battle, somebody will grab you by the shirt tail and stick a knife in your back. Not a good thing. So they would take this belt, take it and put it around their midsection. Just take it and cinch it up here, which I always have trouble with this belt. But yeah, I need a bigger belt. Somebody say, oh, your time's coming, brother. All right, now, I've got my belt cinched up there. That keeps all the spiritual loose ends in. The belt of truth. What is the truth for us? It's the Word of God. It's everything that God said in context. It's the answers we get to prayer. All those things that we communicate with God, that He communicates through Scripture, through teaching, through prayer, all those elements are truth. We need to be grounded in the truth in everything we do. We don't need loose ends hanging. Well, you know, I don't really know what God says about that. Well, you need to find out what God says about it because you need to do that in your life. There's some guys, I think, the belt of truth, they needed to keep their pants on. Anybody know where I'm going with that? Amen. Yeah, I'm getting an amen from back there. Some guys need the belt of truth to remind them that their pants don't come down all the time. It's a truth. It's a true statement. God doesn't support many of our lifestyles these days. And we need to be aware of that. We need to live in the truth. This next one, the body armor of God's righteousness. What's righteousness? How about right living? Is that a good enough definition for you guys? But, you know, you need to put this on. We're in a battle here today. So let's get this out. This is very similar to what our U.S. military wears. Well, it actually is. It's just not a, it's not got the armor pieces inside of it here, but you put this on, you know, it protects your upper body, keeps you safe. We'll zip it up because the zipper's not real good in it, but this protects you here. This is your protection. It protects all your vital organs. You would have metal plates here. You would have metal plates behind. The newer vests have metal plates down the side, so if you're turned sideways, an enemy shot can't go here. Why do we need this? The enemy, he's trying to take us out on the battlefield. We need to be righteous. Righteousness is simply obedience to Jesus. Obedience to what he does produces righteousness in our daily lives. Obedience to what it says in the scriptures. Living a righteous life. Living by that truth that we talked about with the belt of truth. Having a righteousness about us where we live every day trying to imitate the way Jesus Christ himself lived. Does that make sense to you? That we need to live righteously. And that's what protects us from the devil. When he comes at us and attacks us, we have two things now to fall back on. We have the truth. We know what the truth should be. And we're living righteously. So it's not like, what's one of the biggest things that Satan tempts us with as far as our righteousness? You're not good enough. You're not good enough to serve Jesus. You're not good enough to tell somebody else about Jesus. You're not good enough. Who are you to invite somebody to come to that church over there in Hickson? Who are you? I know what you did last week. You know what? That's the reason we need to live righteously. And I'm not saying we live sinlessly. That's something different. We all sin. We all mess up. But we need to repent and get back in fellowship with God so that we can appear righteous. Does that make sense to everybody? We need to be protected from that. We need righteousness. Shoes of peace. Notice he didn't say the flip-flops of peace. You got to have some kind of boot with some support in it. You know, what happens on the what would happen on the battlefield if this guy went into Desert Storm or Enduring Freedom, any of the operations we have going across the world with flip-flops on? Well, he's not going to last long, for one thing. He's not going to give him any protection. He's not going to be very sure-footed, is he? But he talks about shoes of peace. What does peace mean in all this? We need to be at peace with God. You know how? By knowing his truth, by living righteously, so we have nothing in between us and God. When we live righteously, we can be at peace with God, and then God's strength comes to us. Truth, righteousness, and peace. They're all intertwined. They all somewhat play off each other. But to be at peace with God, you can't be at peace with God without being righteous in your living and knowing when to repent and knowing when to ask God's forgiveness. And you can't know when to do that unless you know the truth. It all goes together. These three elements here that I have on this morning would all be worn continuously on the battlefield. They didn't sit around with their shoes off. They didn't sit around with a loose tunic that, you know, they had to run to battle. They had to wait, I got to get dressed and put this on. And most of the time they kept this on. That looks like that would be fairly uncomfortable if you did that. But, you know, you look at American soldiers, and I don't know how many of you see the images on the news and things like that. They normally have the vest on, the load-bearing vest and the armor-bearing vest as well. And they normally have, obviously, shoes on and everything cinched up with a load-bearing belt of some sort. They keep those things on in the battlefield. So they're ready because what? War's how far away? Shot away. It's close. It could happen at any time to any of us. We could be in a huge spiritual battle. You know, that could happen to us. Now, what about the shield of faith? Guy didn't have one, but you ever see, you know, on TV, especially things like in foreign countries, they have a problem with this. A shield. You can take this shield. Somebody throws rocks at you. Somebody, you know, wants to throw a bottle at you or maybe a Molotov cocktail or something. You'll see, especially police organizations, and then sometimes the military, use a shield like this. Notice it's a little different from the Roman shield. They've now gotten smart instead of, it's kind of hard to fight if you don't have something to see through it. And it's like, well, now they've made it with this slot in it. You can see through the shield, and you can see ours is the official JourneyChattanooga.com shield. We always advertise and market where we can. So this is the JourneyChattanooga.com shield. But what is the shield of faith? Another element is your faith. This is one of the areas that I see Satan attack the most and the most frequently. Faith is simply you trusting in God to be who he is and do what he says. Trusting in the truth. Exactly, Don. Absolutely. Trusting in the truth that what he says is true. He's going to go by that. He doesn't waver from it. And it's going to be true. So that when these attacks come at us, and in the Roman soldiers' world, what they would do is they would hold this up as the arrows came and things, and they would bounce off. Often they shot flaming arrows. And this would be a piece of treated leather or something of that nature on the shield. It would kind of help quench the fire as it hit as well. It was a very important part of their armor back then to keep that attack and to repel the attack. Do we get attacked today? Absolutely. I tell you, I believe that is Satan, one of his biggest tools is chipping away at our faith. He takes a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, a little more doubt, a little more doubt, and by the time he's done, you're actually questioning whether God's in control or not, and you're a casualty. It's over. You have no shield of faith to protect you from his attacks. And then he just does what he wants with you. And then most of the time, if he attacks for too long, too hard, and you don't have the faith, you don't have the truth, you don't have the righteousness, you don't have the peace with God, you fall victim to it. You may fall away from church. You may never attend another community of faith. You may lose all faith in God. You may lose all hope in your life. Because you don't see the outcome. You don't see God's hand on you. You don't see how he is actually controlling things behind the scenes. But the shield of faith, probably one of the most important pieces of this. If you don't have faith, if you don't have a method to deflect, the fiery darts of the enemy is how it's often exclaimed. Guess where that comes from? The same picture of Roman battles then with the flaming arrows. The flaming darts of the enemy who's sneaking around prowling like a lion, waiting to shoot you with his fiery dart. Well, when it comes, if you have these things here, you can just go, no. God says, this is true. I'm going to deflect this. What you say is not true, I don't believe you, Satan. Get out of here. Get away from me. What did Jesus tell Peter? Get behind me, Satan. It wasn't that Peter was Satan possessed, but he saw Satan could use Peter. And he said, get behind me. He deflected that. And we'll talk a little bit more about how Jesus handles that in a minute. We'll set our shield there. It's a little difficult to keep holding that one. Helmet of salvation. Now, the Roman soldier picture we had there, he had a metal armor. Almost kind of looked like a knight's helmet, didn't it? Our modern-day military helmets are a little different. And how many of you ever seen those Roman helmets with the big red plume on them? Yeah. Anybody know what that was for? I didn't have time to research that. That seems like a really dumb idea. Put a red floppy thing on my head so you can shoot me in the head as I go down the road. Does that make sense? I mean, you'd think you'd want your head to be camouflaged and protected and that sort of thing. You don't want your head to stand out as a target, do you? So I don't know what, I think that was maybe just more for decorative uses in parades and marches. I don't think, surely they didn't go into battle with that. If they did, there's a reason the Roman Empire isn't here today. That was just dumb. But our helmet, we in modern military days, we have a Kevlar helmet. They wear this all the time in the field. Protects your head from various attacks of the enemy. Now, what do we often say Satan does to us? He gets inside what? Gets inside our head. We doubt our salvation. We doubt the things that he says are true. We start doubting our salvation. We start again with that. You're not good enough. You're not who you say you are. I'm going to get inside your head. You know what? Satan has no power over controlling our minds. Do you guys realize that? That's a bunch of bull. That's another lie that Satan tells. He can't get in your head. Guess what else he can't do? He doesn't read your thoughts. That's our own fleshly desires, our own sinful nature, our own things that we have inside of us that we won't admit are our own problems, and we won't blame them on Satan. It's like for some of you older folks like myself, the old Flip Wilson skit, the devil made me do it. Devil didn't make none of us do anything, okay? We did that of our own free will. He may have influenced circumstances around us. He does not make us sin. You guys need to get that straight. He does not make us sin. But we need this helmet of salvation. We need to remember what Jesus Christ did for us. We need to remember the sacrifice he made. And that battle is over. Satan's defeated. Don't let him in your head voluntarily. Don't take his advice. Don't do the things that he says. My goodness, it's so easy when you look at that. Now, here comes my favorite part. This is going to be the most fun, the sword of the Spirit. This was, the sword there could be used either offensively or defensively, correct? I mean, if somebody's attacking you, you can take that sword and thrust at them, and you can, you know, get them off of you. Or if you need to run into battle, what do you carry with you? Your sword. We don't have swords today. Mark, what did you say about a pistol being illegal? You said we couldn't.
We can't distribute.
Distribute. Well, how about an M4? Can we use that? Oh, no, we're going to have fun with this. Now, before any of you panic, no, I did not bring it. I don't think this is the real one. Let me check this. No, that's the airsoft one. I just want to make sure before I pointed it at anybody here in a minute. This is a replica of our current M4 battle rifle. It's got the sight on it and everything. Man, now, do you feel pretty good about protecting yourself with this if somebody comes at you? You guys are just overly confident because guess what? He may have one of these. He may have a bigger one than you do. Don't go into battle cocky and prepared thinking, I'm going to take out the enemy. It's not going to happen, guys. He's going to defeat you. He's going to knock you out of your boots. He's going to knock your helmet off. And you're going to be laying there wondering what happened because you didn't rely on prayer in the battle.
All that said was just a stand.
Exactly. Absolutely. We need to take a stand. We need to have these elements around us. We need to know how to go into spiritual battle. We need to know sometimes we need to defend ourselves. And we'll use all these tools that we've talked about, the truth, the faith, the righteousness. We'll use all those things to protect us in battle. But we also know, you know, sometimes we need to move forward. We need to move forward. We need to move forward leading the way and bringing somebody with us. How about that? It's being a witness. It's sharing Christ with others. It's discipling other people, telling them the good news, what God has done for us, and bringing them along with us and helping pray for them and helping hold the enemy off with the weapons we have. the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. That's what we need to use. Now, what happens to us as Christians often is, like I said, we're a little cocky, a little things happen or whatever. What do you think happens? Do you think that, probably more comfortable if I didn't point that right at you, wouldn't you? Thank you. Yeah. So what would happen, you know, all these elements, what happens? Does Satan go after people that aren't righteous, aren't living for God? Do you think that's where their problems come from? He's not worried about them, guys. He's worried about those of us that are armored up, willing to go into battle, willing to lead others into battle, and willing, through prayer, for the powers of the universe to take him on and take him out of our lives. That's who he fears. That's who he's going to attack, because he needs to take you out. And oftentimes what happens is we identify, you know, it's you know, we come out, we're a little afraid to say we're Christians. I've got a volunteer this morning who is now incredibly reluctant to volunteer. Carlos, come on up here. I've got you something. You like dogs, don't you? Well, this is cool. Then Karen found this shirt this week. Isn't that pretty cool, isn't it? With the big dog on it with his... How do you like that?
Go ahead.
Slip that on, Carlos. That'll look good on you, I think. I think it's your size. It's not quite as fashionable as those pretty plaid shorts you have on, but hey. You know, some of you guys know me well. If you just keep on and keep on and keep on poking at me, it's going to come back to get you someday, and it may be like this. You never know. Now, Carlos, we're going to talk a little bit about life of a Christian. And in all seriousness, I am thrilled to death. My buddy Carlos here is going to get baptized next week. Okay? Awesome. Wanted to do it in the river instead of the tub here. He wanted to go to the river and be baptized. You know what he's doing? He's identifying himself as a follower of Jesus Christ. Guess what that does to the enemy? That identifies you as my enemy, and I want to take you out. So what do you think he does? Carlos, would you turn towards that wall, please? Now, you just stand there. Now, Carlos, there you go. Turn around and show the audience that. Okay, now you can go down. Give Carlos a hand. He is such a good sport. Now, Carlos, I want you to go about midways down through here. Have you ever been shot with an airsoft gun? Anybody? Did they really hurt? I'm not sure. They all tell me it really doesn't hurt that bad. That might be a little thin, though. But you know what? In all seriousness, the reason I illustrated that this way is we do have a target on our back, okay? When we identify ourselves as Christians, when we start trying to walk that walk, when we start trying to live righteously, when we start trying to proclaim the truth, when we start doing all those things, guess what? Satan identifies us and comes after us. Does that scare anybody? Hey, if it doesn't, it should. By the way, we need to pray for our soldiers just that long. That thing's hot. It's hot. Their vests are heavy, and we do need to pray for them. But guys, you know, so how do we defeat this enemy? I'm scared of him, aren't you? I don't want a target on my back. And hey, you don't have to be up here speaking in public. You don't have to be teaching a Sunday school class or a child's class here at Journey. You don't have to be in a discipleship group. You don't have to be in a small group study. All you have to do is identify yourself as wanting to follow Jesus Christ, and you're a target. So what happens when Satan attacks us directly? Jesus knows how to battle the enemy. How many of you agree we always say Jesus is our example, is he not? Now, I don't know how many of you have actually been assaulted by the enemy directly. I saw it happen this week. I saw a very real example of spiritual warfare in a situation with a friend of mine where I know the root of it is two good Christian people that Satan is trying to drive apart. He's trying to drive a wedge between them. He's exaggerating facts. He's doing all those things. Does that sound sneaky? First verses there we talked about, it talks about some people call it the wiles of the devil, the strategy of the devil, the schemes of the devil. He's good at it, folks. He's good at trying to take the things that look ordinary and he changes the facts. And then we don't have our helmet of salvation on. We don't have our righteous living. We don't have the truth. We don't have the peace. And when he comes with that attack, instead of saying, no, God says it's this way. He's in control. He's controlling the situation. You know what we do? We run halfway into battle. We don't have our belt on. We've got maybe our shoes on. And we try and pick up our weapon here, and we don't know how to use it, which way it points. And, oh, my goodness, how does this thing work? I can't load it. I don't know what to do. And he's wearing us out in battle because we're not prepared. Because war's how far away? Shot away. It can come to you at any time. It can attack you unexpectedly. That's the reason we need these elements to prepare. You need to be somewhere hearing the truth, hearing the word of God, having it shared and explained with you. You need to have close friends around you that will rally with you. There is nothing worse than going through a spiritual battle seemingly alone. The Holy Spirit is with you. God the Father, Jesus Christ is with you. But sometimes it is so meaningful to have a friend here on the earth that's with you too, that walks through you, walks through the battle with you, walks through and helps you to see these things. That's the reason we're so passionate about discipleship here and want you guys to be passionate about it as well. But let's look at our final scripture verse here. Matthew chapter 4 from the New Living Translation. Let's talk about the temptation of Jesus. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came to him and said, "If you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread." You see how Satan, see his scheme? If you fasted for all that time, you're going to be what? Hungry. Hungry. You know, some people have done, Mark has participated in the Daniel fast where you don't eat certain things. It's based on the character of Daniel that we talked about earlier. Mark, did you enjoy our dinner the other night at New York Pizza with your salad? Were you tempted if Deidre had turned her back to eat that last slice of pizza? Very much tempted. That's the way Satan works. He works on our physical needs even, our physical desires, all those things. He knows those weaknesses. He's not in your head, but he can see the circumstances around you. He can see those things, and he can use them against you. He can take when you're hungry and tempt you and say, "If you're really the Son of God, turn those stones into bread." You know what Jesus said? No. The scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. What did he use as his weapon for his defense? He picked up his scripture. He picked up his holy word. He picked up his sword, and he used it against Satan and said, "No, the truth is, that's not what my Father says. My Father says this. You don't live just by your physical needs. You live by spiritual needs. You live by the very word of God." Well, Satan's not satisfied with that. So the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple and said, "If you're the Son of God, jump off, because the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect you and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." Notice something. Did you notice anything here? This is amazing. Satan changed his tactic midstream. Did you notice that? He was going after his physical need. Now he's saying you'll do this because what? Guess who else knows the word and knows how to use it? He got up, got the word, and says, "You know what? This says this. And I just took it just enough out of context to tempt you." Man, if you're not studying the word, not being discipled in the word, not hearing the word explained to you, Satan can come in and he can twist things so far out of shape you won't know what hit you. That's what he tried to do to Jesus. He said, "But Jesus, the word says this. If God ordered his angels to protect you, you won't even stump your foot," basically. And Jesus responded, "The scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God." Jesus knew there was a bigger picture in scripture. He knew the entire frame of scripture. And he knew that Satan was taking that one portion of scripture and taking it out of context and trying to use it for something it wasn't intended to. But Jesus knew that there was a whole picture of who God the Father was and how you should respect him. And then finally, next, the devil took him to the peak of a very, very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. "I'll give it all to you," he said, "if you'll kneel down and worship me." I'll give it all to you. Well, that's not very tempting because Jesus and God are one. He created. That's about the stupidest tactic. It's like, "I'll give you your new car that you just bought, that you just paid for. It's yours now." Well, yeah, it was already Jesus's. That was a pretty dumb temptation. And at this point, Jesus has had enough. He says, "Get out of here, Satan, for the scriptures say you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only." How many of you guys serve God only today? How many of you are torn? Anybody here busy? Amen. Busier than we should be often, and it tears our focus away from where we should be serving God and focusing on Him. Life gets in the way, doesn't it? Absolutely. I'm as guilty as anybody. Life gets in the way. But guys, we need to armor up today. We need to take each of these things that we have looked at, these elements of truth, and what we need to do is we need to start applying them to our lives. We need to start every day in prayer, communicating with our spiritual leader, our Father in heaven, and confessing our sins and talking about our needs. And we need to hold up this shield when Satan attacks and know what faith is. We need to do all these things, guys, because this spiritual battle is very real. And if you ever get wrapped up in it and you've never been, you will not know what's hit you. You won't know what's happening, and it will seem like the world itself is ending, and you won't know why. But guess what? If we are true disciples of Jesus Christ, if we are following Him, if we believe the truth, if we read the truth, if we absorb this truth, it's part of our very being. We try to live righteously. We confess our sins. We repent and turn back from the things we're doing wrong. If we will do those things, guess what? God the Father is by our side, and Satan is already defeated. The battle's over. Now, there may be a little rough spot there where he still pokes and prods at you, but guess what? You're going to come through those battles victorious. You're going to, and there's things that are just so far beyond what we can comprehend, the things that are going on among the angels, the battles around us, what our prayer launches. Who knows what has happened this morning in the spiritual realm, because we're here gathered together today, and we're looking for God's direction, and we're looking to spiritually battle. There's no telling what's going on out there, guys. And like I said, you may be traveling home this afternoon and have no idea that there's any battle anywhere near you. And by Monday morning, you may be in the midst of it. So, guys, what I'd ask you to do today is, as we close, and band, you guys can start coming back up. As we close today, I would ask that you simply examine your life and see if you're truly a disciple of Christ, if you're truly following Him. We all need work. We all need to do more than what we do, as far as trusting God. And what I ask you to do this morning is ask yourself, am I prepared for these battles that have been talked about this morning? Do I have this armor on? And if I don't, man, God, please help me today to find how to armor up, to put this armor on and to protect myself and my family from the wiles of the devil, the strategies and schemes that he's going to come at me with as soon as I walk out this, maybe before you walk out this building. Don't think this because this is a sacred place where people meet together, that he's not here walking up and down trying to find somebody to get to. He's bold. He'll try anything to get you off the path because you have that target on your back. You've been identified as a follower of Jesus Christ. Guys, let's pray along those lines this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you so much for just all you have shared through the study about the armor of God and how we can honestly put these elements on each day as we get up. And each day, get up and do the next right thing, God, in your eyes. And we need to follow you and trust you wholly and trust in your truth, God. Be at peace with you and live a righteous life, repenting when we need to, God, and seeking your face. Lord, you're our strong tower. You give us shelter. Lord, we just need to remember that it's so close that we could be in a battle, and we need to be prepared at all times. And God, we need to wrap our arms around our brothers and sisters here in this world, whether they're even Christians or not. We need to wrap our arms around them and protect them from the enemy, and teach them how to stand on their own, and how to be disciples of Jesus Christ, and how to defeat the enemy, God, here on earth. Because, God, he's already defeated in the heavenly realms, but we know he walks about looking for us, trying to attack us. And, Lord, I just pray this morning that not only for ourselves, but those around us in our community, that we'll have a concern for them. And we'll want to know more of your word, God. We'll want to absolutely be absorbed with what you have for us, God, so we can not only apply it to our lives, but share it to others on the battlefield, Lord, the spiritual battlefield, that we can help them through their struggles, God, and that we can come together as a faith community, God, loving you and trusting you, God. I thank you so much this morning for all you do for us, God, and I thank you for your presence here, and just pray as we close out with this song, God, that you'll continue to touch hearts and work in lives. For it's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen.